Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake, that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles, and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. Excuse me. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were ware of it, and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who, steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, "The gods are come down unto us in the likeness of men." And they called Barnabas Jupiter, and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and, having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, and to Iconium, and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples, and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord, on whom they believed. And after they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attalia, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. I have the first section as verses 1 through 7. And so we have the apostles there. And notice, I don't know if you caught this or not, very, very subtle in the passage, but in verse 14, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of. Notice that both Paul and Barnabas are spoken of as apostles there. Now, we do distinguish between those inspired apostles of the Lord and others that went with them onto their onto the field of service, such as Barnabas and Silas and John Mark. They were also apostles in the sense that they traveled with those inspired apostles. They were sent out from the church to that work. That's what the word apostello means. It means to send. So anyone with a mission, that kind of a mission from the church, and you know, the Latin term is mission. The Greek term is apostello. We say sending. All of it means the same thing. It's all from the same general word group across different languages. And it means an authorized sending from the presbytery to go out and to preach the gospel and to plant churches, as they did. So this is what Barnabas and Paul were doing. Now, some of those in the first century were what we call apostles in the capital A or inspired sense, in that these men performed miracles, they spoke inspired scripture, they were the direct attendants of the Lord Jesus Christ, eyewitnesses to his resurrection, and called and ordained by Christ himself. They are distinguished among the apostles as extraordinary apostles. But there are other men who are called apostles as well. And so, for the Reformed churches, we have drawn back from using that word apostle, because the Apostle Paul seems to use it in the sense of an extraordinary office only in Ephesians chapter 4. So following that usage, we then have said the apostles really do not exist anymore. I know that you can go to particular churches today and you can find men that are called apostles, apostles such and so. Well, they may be apostles in the sense that they have been sent, but that's not why they take that title to themselves in those churches. Those churches that have apostles today, they claim to be a continuation of that early extraordinary office. And so you have, for instance, the Mormon church with 12, quote-unquote, living apostles. They are not apostles in that sense at all. As a matter of fact, they are heretics. You have the living apostolate that is said to reside in Rome. That is not a living apostolate in the sense of Peter and Paul and so on. Then there are the charismatic or Pentecostal churches that also claim the title of apostle today. And truly, they are not apostles in that sense. And if they meant it according to we have been sent by the laying on of hands of the presbytery, we would have no difficulty with that use of the term, although it would be an unusual usage of it. But they're actually arrogating to themselves powers and authority that expired with those inspired apostles in the first century. All right, so there's your doctrinal church history lesson. So, preaching begins in the synagogue. Here they are in Iconium. Preaching begins in the synagogue. This was Paul's pattern throughout his missionary journey. Why? Because the church of the Jews, up until the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, was still, quote-unquote, a viable church, even though it was irregular at that point not to follow Christ. That's the first mission field. The church today is a mission field. I know that folks want to say you're converted, you're here at church, and the mission field is out there. Well, I don't think so. I think we agree with some of our early Scottish reformers or later Scottish reformers that say the church is that the mission field is here. This is where God is gathering people to hear the word. And so here we have then the preaching of the gospel to the synagogue. Many were Jews and many were Greeks in these Asia Minor synagogues. So, both Jews and Greeks believed. There was a large blessing, a large amount of fruit that the Spirit of God brought forth upon the preaching of the word in the synagogue. And many Jews and Gentiles believed, but there were some Jews that didn't. And they stirred up the people, and frankly, they were ready to stone Paul. And when Paul heard it, they left. They left town. They stayed for quite some time, even in the face of that opposition. And so we see then that Paul's Paul was not simply fleeing at the first sense of difficulty. No, he stayed the course, stayed for quite some time. But when they drew up a plan to stone him, he and Barnabas left town with their attendants. And so they left and went to other Asia Minor cities, Derbe and Lystra and so on. And so we will see also in this first missionary journey that while they left Iconium and went to Lystra and Derbe and Antioch, Pisidia, that is, over in Asia Minor, and continued the preaching, that these Jews from Iconium were vehement and would not give up the idea that it was time to stone Paul. And so here they are in Lystra, and they stir up the folks there, and they actually get that done. Paul is stoned in Lystra, falls to the ground, and then he's drug out of the city and thought dead. But the disciples gathered round him, obviously very much sorely affected by what had gone on. It turns out that Paul was not dead after all, but they thought he was dead only. Some have said Paul was raised from the dead here. I doubt that. I think that would have been clear in the narrative if that was true. Then there is this verification, this equation, if you will, in the mind of Dr. Luke and as that agent of inspired writing. We want to make sure that everyone understands that not only is Peter an apostle, Paul is an apostle as well. And so in Acts chapter 3, we have Peter and James and John on their way to the temple. They look at the man who's by the beautiful gate of the temple. He's been lame from his mother's womb. And he fastens his eyes upon him and it says, "In the name of Jesus Christ, rise and walk." And so we have the same kind of situation here, a parallel situation. The critics of Scripture say this is just a reduplication. It's an error. It's an error in editing. We say no. This is a second healing that took place in these days, and this is at the hands of Paul, because Paul is being authorized, verified, and displayed as the apostle to the Gentiles, as Peter was the apostle to the circumcision. Both of these things are true in their own right and in their different places. They belong to the Lord's work in magnifying the ministry in those days. So he is lame from his mother's womb. He never walked. He hearkened to Paul. He leaped and walked. It says that Paul perceived he had the faith to be saved. That is the original, that he had faith to be saved. In other words, he was a believer. He was a believer. This wasn't a converting miracle. This was a man that was converted. This was a signal act of God upon a man who already had faith. He believed in the Lord. And it doesn't mean that he had passed muster on his faith such that he could be healed. Those who take that passage and pervert it in that way will lie to you about other things too. Just like, well, the reason you didn't get healed is because you didn't have enough faith. Please, this is not biblical doctrine. Okay, so when Paul when he performed that miracle, they thought him a god. They thought him a god, and so they were ready to do sacrifice to him and to Barnabas. And when they found that out, they ran right in the midst of them and gave their testimony of being men and not gods. He denies that anything should be done for him or the others. And notice that Paul was unwilling to do what we call today in missionary circles accommodation. Many missionaries are trained now in modern missiology courses in seminary that it's okay for them to go down to the pagan ceremony and sit with them in their ceremony and participate, because that in that way they're getting to know their people. I don't think so. I think the procedure of the apostle was completely different from that. All right, so then in verses 19 through the end of the chapter, we have that same scenario that we reiterated earlier, that the Iconium Jews, well, they were simply stubborn. When Paul fled from Iconium, they chased him into Lystra, stirred up the multitude there to stone him and to drag him out of the city, thinking he was dead, but the Lord had spared him. So they departed to Derbe to preach there. Then they return, I hope you noticed, to Lystra and Iconium. So this is not cowardice. It's not It's not a fleeing of the field to live to preach another day. That's the point. When Paul heard that they were going to stone him, when there was a plan in place that he understood, he left. It would have been hubris and presumption to stay. And so he left town. But notice, after he was stoned and had somewhat recovered from his injuries, he went back and preached in those very cities and confirmed the souls of the disciples. Use that as an opportunity to remind them of this universal Christian truth, that through many tribulations we must enter into the kingdom of God. That's what he taught them. It is through many tribulations that we enter into the kingdom of God. So then the end of the chapter has them returning to Antioch after tours in several other cities. They return to Antioch, and when they return to Antioch, they call the church together and they rehearse all of the things that God had done. Some have just said, well, this is like what you would see when a missionary goes on deputation, you know, and he comes in from the field and he gathers and he shows his slides. It's not exactly like that. I don't know, some of you find that funny. What is going on here is that Paul and Barnabas are behaving themselves as men under authority. They were sent out by the presbytery, and so when they came back to Antioch, they called the presbytery together and gave their report back to those men that had originally sent them out by the laying on of hands, in order that they might tell them what that authority, what that ministry had wrought in the land of Asia Minor. And we will see, Lord willing, this afternoon in the next chapter, that there was a dispute that arose, that there was some questioning that arose, that the presbytery was divided as to what Paul and Barnabas actually did and why they did it. And so something arose. There was a part of the presbytery that said, Paul and Barnabas, you didn't do everything you should have done there. You left part of the work undone. You didn't circumcise them. And then the other part of the presbytery said, no, that's not necessary. And when they could not come to grips with that on their own, then they went to a broader court to have that matter decided. And we'll see that, Lord willing, this afternoon. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.